And God said, hallelujah, whenever he found out that you were born.
Amen.
Hello to all of you tonight that's joined us on our webcast. We are got a terrific, exciting time lined up tonight. I'm sure it's going to really engender some great discussions. And I don't know, we may take some phone calls a little bit later on if you got any questions. But you can see from our webcast page that we're going to do some interesting discussions tonight. And we don't know where this is going to go because I have two high-ranking officers in the Army of the Keepers of Odd Knowledge with me on the phone tonight. First one being Russ Chandler from high atop the Rocky Mountains, and the second one being David Scoville from Middletown, Connecticut, or Higginham, Connecticut. And we're going to talk about some things tonight. Boy, we could get into a lot of different subjects, but welcome, Rooster.
Well, God bless. Welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, David, are you all connected in and everything?
I'm in. I'm here.
All right, great. What, Jack?
Turn your speakers down.
Jack is telling me to turn my speakers down a little bit.
I told you that last week, too.
Well, I'm really trying to be compliant. How's that? Is that a little bit better?
You hit mute.
Oh, now I hit mute.
Yep, bring it back up. Hit that button.
Okay. How about that
raw, one? Uncut, okay. Unedited.
Are you guys muted out there?
Yeah, I'm muted.
Okay, I'm better. How's that, Dave? A little bit better?
I'm good. You're good with me.
Okay, good. Well, maybe it's just I'm so loud.
Well, you know, you can wear headphones with a microphone. You won't have any of those problems.
If I usually sit around the table with this microphone so I can entertain questions from the people that are here with me.
Well,
Mr. Newman. So, but anyway, I've been deeply involved in the subject and quandary about when people are born relative to the days and dates of their birth, and does that have any effect upon them at all? And you know, this is deals with the ecliptic path of the sun, which is, and the movement of the moon and the planets around the ecliptic path, which Psalm 119 talks about, one of the verses that we have put up tonight. But you know, I pretty much grew up thinking that, you know, this astrology stuff and anybody that looked at the heavens was a hooky pook. And what do you know about that? What do you know about this stuff, David?
About astrology or about the word of God written in the heavens?
Well, is the,
I don't know a whole lot about astrology and don't think I want to. That's what I was always taught, that originally that, even when you talk to people today, sometimes they still get a glazed look over their eyes when you tell them about the Word of God being written in the heavens. I'm not sure a whole lot of people really understand it.
What do you know about it, Rooster?
Well, I know back in the 60s and 70s, you'd go around and say, hey, baby, you look like a Virgo to me. But I believe that by all means, people that do not have the Spirit of God in them are directed by powers and forces that are in the heavens. I think that's according to the God of this world who kind of runs some of that stuff. But when you're born again and have Spirit, we're under a different sign. It's the bright and morning star. His name's Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, I've been plowing up some ground. David, when you were down here during our Partners Week, I gave you a book, one that I had recently gotten on the language of God in the universe by Helena Lehman. And I've been reading some different aspects about this. You know, I'm not trying to pick a fight. God knows I don't need that. I've got enough of them going on. But I got involved in the study of the Word of God in the heavens, and for the reason of being able to teach cutting-edge truth to college students, but I also believe that there is a fabulous revelation here that I think for the most part has been laid hidden beneath the surface for, I don't know, how many thousands of years. But I believe that at some point in time that, like Russ said, if there's if people are born at a certain time under a certain star sign or the planets are in particular positions, I mean, surely that's got to mean something.
Can I interject something here?
Please.
Well, Romans 10:18, now we understand that Romans is written to the church, right? To the body of believers. Right. And in Romans, it goes back to Psalm 19 and quotes that their voice has gone out into all the earth. Now, what does that word "into all the earth" mean? And secondly, it says their words to the ends of the age. So what you're saying there is I think there's a whole lot more to this than we've really understood in the past.
Well, I totally agree with this. And David, you and I have been talking about this some this past week, and Russ, just to catch up on this, I've been sending him some data out of my up-to-date Starry Night Pro program, looking at seeing if we can, what we can do as far as being able to help people understand these things a little bit better. But, you know, I have an attitude, of course, both of you know this, but you know how the word seer, as it says in the Old Testament, Russ, that the bad guys got the word seer and the children of God weren't allowed, you know, they didn't use it anymore, so they just took prophets, et cetera. But I believe that the devil has stolen this whole thing about the impact of the word of God in the heavens to people on the earth. And I see him using it, astrologers using it for personal profit. But I have a personal belief and you'll see this on the webcast heading, of a Christological hermeneutic of the heavens, that the heavens have got to portray Jesus Christ. And, for example, if you're born in the constellation of Aries. I mean, Aries is the ram of God. And I believe that says something about the potential that you have, not about your destiny and what you have to be, but maybe about the potential of what you could be. Now, you think I'm on thin ice here, Russ?
I don't think so, Dale.
I've been looking at some of these and looking at people's birth dates and looking at the abilities that God has given to them. But the one that really knocked me down was whenever I put on my Starry Night Pro the picture of the heavens when Jesus Christ was born. And it just knocked me down. Because I fixed it at September 11th, 3 BC. Now, some people say he may have been born March 5th, maybe 5 BC or whatever, but I just took September 11th, 3 BC. And man, it is amazing what it says about his life. Because Jupiter was between the feet of Leo the lion. Venus and Mercury was in Virgo. Mars was in I believe Capricorn. But anyway, it just says what he was supposed to do, and the moon at the feet of Virgo. And I just believe that there's got to be something about this. But I was looking today at the subject of astrologers. You see that thing in Daniel chapter 5 that I put on the verse list. And you know, obviously, astrology is not a good practice. You know, but when you look up the definition of astrology in the dictionary, it says the study of the heavenly bodies and their predictions on man. But I don't believe that they make predictions, but I believe that there's certain when you're born and where the planets were and where the sun and the moon were, may be a prophetic indication of your God-given talents and gifts and potentials to manifest Jesus Christ.
I think that's quite possible.
Go ahead.
Which book is it that it's one of the books of antiquity? It's either Jubilees or it's the I think it's probably Jubilees, where it talks about what happened on the day that Abraham was born.
It's in the book of Jasher.
Jasher. Jasher?
Jasher.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, that kind of clarified something to me that, you know, granted, it's not a canon of the scriptures as quote unquote canon was made, but it's still a book that's been around a long time, and it makes reference to that star happening on the night that Abraham was born, or Abram at that time.
Wow. Yeah, that's a fantastic, rich account. I've always wanted to understand what that means, and I'm beginning to get a greater clue of it, but it does show the significance of Abraham being born. And I'm thinking about this, Russ. I mean, you know, where do you start and stop our acceptance of the sovereignty of God?
Well, you know, Hebrews says that we must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if people are diligently seeking him, they're going to find these truths that are written in the heavens. So that's, you know, that's all I know about that.
Well, you know, in Psalm 19, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And I've been very quick to say that the glory of God is Jesus Christ. But you know what else? The glory of God is also Sam Scovell. I'm picking on David's son here. You know, but he's the glory of God. I mean, and we've seen in the Bible codes, you know, Droyson wrote the books about, and other people have done the research on the Bible codes, the Hologram and the Pentateuch, and the other places in the Old Testament where letter patterns are searched, and we're finding the names of people written in the scriptures. I mean, the vastness, the awesomeness of God in his foreknowledge, surely he knew. And again, when Sam would be born, David,
right?
That he's not an accident,
right?
You know, and I believe that this is part of the glory of God is what surrounds us. And I know I'm asking for trouble whenever I start even bringing up stuff about the astrologers, but these verses in Daniel 5:14, I have heard, I have even heard of thee, that talking about Daniel, the Spirit of God is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing, could not, and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, and they could not show me the interpretation of the thing. And then it goes on to say, I've heard of thee how thou canst make interpretations as dissolve doubts, now if thou canst read the writing. But Daniel had the Holy Spirit. And I think what happens is you start getting astrologers that try to steal money from people and squeeze things and try to make it say things to dazzle people without the proper interpretation of the Holy Spirit is where a lot of these things run amok. But I'm still going back to the fact that, you know, the heavens, declare the glory of God, and they were put in the head, and they were, the stars were put there for signs and seasons and days and years. But I'm not so quick to discount the fact that when a person is born, in the position of the planets and the moon and the sun at that time is not significant. It's an interesting dilemma when you begin looking at this. Now, David, you and I have talked about something, and Russ, I'm sure you and I have talked about it at times past, too. I think one of the things that's made astrology so stupid is because they're reading tables that are 2,000 years out of phase.
Right.
And when I really believe that this is a great secret, Russ, that, you know, me working with other people that's been able to teach me has discovered that the astrological tables, that because of the precession rewind of the Earth, they're almost an entire house or an entire constellation in the ecliptic path off in who they say you are.
Yep.
I agree with that, too. Did you get that book I sent you recently, Dale? It's called Stolen ID. And it has this whole thing that we're talking about right here about being written in the heavens. David, I'll send it to you as well. But this is fascinating in light of Virgo. I mean, that's I was born in September, as were you, Dale. We're both Virgos, if you go from that thing. But Virgo, if God did put all this stuff in the heavens, and I know he did, this prophecy that's in Virgo was written in the stars whenever God created everything. So anyway, in that constellation Virgo is the seed of the woman. It's really the first prophecy, and it shows some really cool things as far as the seed of the woman. It's got the woman. It shows the woman. It shows the seed. It shows the serpent. It shows the feud between the serpent and the woman's seed, and how the seed bruises is bruised in the foot, and the serpent is bruised in the head. And these are probably one of the very first prophecies. And I think it's cool that this particular sign happens around the time of the Feast of Trumpets. And I know it has something to tie with that. I'm sure you guys know all that stuff too, but you probably know more than I do about it. But these signs are up there, and they're so cool. I mean, if that is the sign that I'm born under, I love that sign. That is a great sign.
See, unfortunately, I don't think it is. And that's what I'm booting the Starry Night Pro program up here.
I was waiting for that one, Russ.
And to find out, okay, what sign you're born in, and here I go. I'm gonna do Russ's now, and he was born September 11th. Can you believe that, David?
Oh man, I want that day. Come on,
and Russ.
No, it's fine.
Russ, you were born in 1950.
51.
Okay. Okay. So, anyway, gee, Russ, I thought you were older than that.
No, I'm a youngster. I'm 50. I'll be 50 whatever this year.
Now, the whole determining factor on the scope of Horus, which is the horoscope, right, Dale?
Listen to this, Russ. It's right. That's where you get a horoscope from, is Horus's outlook.
That's right. And that's all based on where the sun is residing in the heavens during this period of time, what constellation it would be residing in. And, when I went back after talking with you, and we went and checked this out, and I always thought that I was, this full of bull Taurus guy that, I could see myself living there. But then I saw that on that day that I was born, the sun was actually not in Taurus. It was in the constellation of Aries.
Yeah.
And it just made me look whole differently at everything that I had seen before, because I've done this work on my birthday before, and yet now I have to relook at it because I did notice this, that I'm not, that the sun is not in that quadrant that I originally thought it was.
Well, I'm gonna view yours now for you, Rusty, and you've got Starry Night Pro, but on sunrise, it doesn't make any difference whether it was sunrise or whenever it was on that day. The sun was in Leo, brother. And this is a very interesting scenario when you realize that we're 2,000 years off. But I tell you what else is cool, Russ, that when you were born on September 11th, 1951, Saturn was in Virgo. And Saturn is Jesus Christ, the kingdom maker. And I think that just speaks really highly of you. Because you're a kingdom man, but you know what? In Leo is that you're a hard charger, man. And
right.
Leo people are the line of the tribe of Judah that takes no prisoners. Venus, on the other hand, if you care, and I'm not giving Russ an astrology reading tonight, I'm just telling him where the planets were when he was born. Venus was also in Leo, as was Mercury and the Sun.
Wow.
And Mars had just left Leo and had entered in to Cancer. And as I think I think Mars being in Cancer, I'm looking at the Christological interpretation of each of these constellations. You know, I think Leo is a kingdom taker, but Virgo is a kingdom maker. You know, and I think Cancer being the crab shows the pastoral heart and so in the fact that Mars was in Cancer, Russ, you know, I can very easily see that you've got the heart of a warrior to protect the flock. But, you know, I'm not trying to read these things backwards into your life. I'm just trying to say, here's what I'm trying to say. I believe that whenever you read these and you have an understanding of what the constellations are, I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you.
Amen.
Hey, Dale. You mentioned something about Saturn.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now remember, a lot of our understanding came out of that Saturn represented Satan, and that it was an evil, foreboding type planet. Now, you just mentioned, though, what did you say about Saturn?
Well, I got introduced to this by several people. As a matter of fact, you being taught from the knowledge pool that I came from is one of the very few people that believe that. Most of the people understand that Saturn, being the seventh planet from the sun, is the consummation of the Sabbath, and depicts Jesus Christ as ruler over the millennial kingdom. You see, here's where I come apart on this. I was also taught that Mars meant Michael, the god of war, and Mercury meant Gabriel, the angel of the messenger, but I don't believe that. I think it's about Yeshua HaMashiach. And if I make Mars about Michael and Mercury about Gabriel, I'm into worshiping angels.
Right.
But I believe that these have got all indications about Jesus Christ. He really is the glory of God. And I'm going to find out where Jupiter was when Russ was born here.
So Saturn, if we looked in today's solar system, we see Saturn only being the sixth planet, right? So that references back to that asteroid belt, which would be that planet Rahab, right, that was destroyed?
Right, and I think that, you know, we could probably depict where that is by the asteroid belt that's called Phaeton. It may be another one. But it's the asteroid belt that shows the location of it. But yeah, Saturn, but back to what you were saying, there's no way that Saturn is, God didn't write that stuff up there about the devil. It's a lot older, it's a lot older than him.
The devil's always shown being defeated in every one of those constellations up there, so.
You know, and for example, you know, and Jupiter and Saturn being the external planets or the ones on the outer rims, they were both in Pisces in 5 BC before Jesus was born, and Jupiter is Jesus Christ, the king of the world, and Saturn is his rulership on the earth. You know, and anyway, but that's what I believe about that. I think potentially that there may be some understanding I'm trying to gather that it could be that wherever the moon was when you were born may show where you get attacked.
Yeah,
and this is something that Helena Lehman brought up in her book on the language of God in the universe, is that the moon is a reflective instrument that is lifeless, etc., and, you know, it just reflects the light of the sun, and it could be, you know, the mimicry of Satan. And so I'm not ready to buy into that immediately, but it may have some semblance to it. But, you know, I tell you what I'm just really seeing here, okay, honestly speaking. You know, and I think that God made everybody in the world unique and wonderful and fabulous people. But I'm looking from where the planets and the sun and the moon was when Russ Chandler was born, that Russ is a very dynamic man, and God meant for him to make a big difference in the world.
Yep.
You know, and that God meant for him to manifest Jesus Christ in certain ways, and certainly, you know, I'm trying to explore the possibilities of this, and I'm doing research on this, and I've done it with people that I know. Obviously, with myself, I've looked at my brother, you know, my brothers and their birthdays and different birthdays. I need to see if I can see the patterns. But I know this. I may not understand this, but I know that each one of these constellations in the heavens tells something about Jesus Christ. Of that, I'm sure. You know.
Well, we know astrology is a counterfeit of something that was true. So you may be hitting on something real big here.
Well, what the astrologers have done is they've tried to make money off of it. So they're going to say, and I just saw this on AOL today, that Virgos have a great surprise for them for love life this month. And so I went on, I just went to my Bible program to see what was happening in Virgo this month. Nothing. You know, so anyway, they're just a bunch of liars. And they're, and you know, I've often thought, if astrologers are this good, how come they always live on beside the railroad tracks in the dumpy part of town? Surely, you know, if these guys really knew what they were talking about, they'd be living up on the mansions and, you know, been making all the money and investing in the stock market. But I think they're just a bunch of gobbledygoopers. And to be honest about it, I'd love to talk to one of them and just dare them to explain how they're reading 2,000-year-old charts. I mean, you know, I think they've got a little more insight than Scientology, but not much.
Yeah.
You know, so. But anyway, this is, you know, you leave yourself open for criticism, but at the same time, you see, here's where I'm coming from, David. We do this Liberated Ministries for Christ International. I'm really, really poised on helping people identify their destinies and right. helping them to accomplish that. What I'm really after here, so, you know, now that I'm going to blow my cover and you know, John Almquist can dial me up and tell me that I'm crazy, or actually he'll probably tell me I know what I'm talking about and just try to help me, is I'm looking for confirmation in people's lives in the mouth of two witnesses, the truth is established. But I believe that the Holy Spirit will establish in people's lives what they know written in the heavens versus what they know written in their hearts. And today I was doing some of this study, and my daughter Hannah came downstairs, and Hannah's getting ready to leave to go into ministry training. And I said, come here a second, Hannah. She sat down, and I popped up her birth date of April 16th, 1988, and I'm telling you, man, it just saturated her soul with calling her to God's will. So, anyway, well, we're in lightweight stuff here. And, you know, but I don't want to get into this thing, because this is where the astrologers go, that this is your destiny, Luke. Search your heart. You know I'm your father. Or... But well, you know, all these I also think, David, on that, if you look at where the sun is within the constellation, you know, it's not just that it's in the constellation, that it's in Virgo.
Right.
You know, but or the planet could be with, you know, I believe whenever I was born, Saturn was in very close proximity to Spica, which is the star for Alcemach.
Mm-hmm.
And Alcemach is the righteous branch. Well, you know, Dr. Dale wrote a book on the millennial kingdom. And, you know, that's what that's talking about, Saturn being in the proximity of Alcemach. Alcemach is the birthing of the kingdom. So, you know, and I guess you can read things into these, but if you get a chance to boot up Jesus' birth date, and Russ, I know you've got Starry Night Pro, and David, so do you. You can see what the heavens looked like when Jesus was born, but it was sure a display. Sure a display. Well, that's what I want to talk about. What you guys got you want to say? Anything along this line?
I'm just looking at 3 BC right now, September 11th with the...
Yeah.
And everything sitting lined up right there with the sun in the constellation Virgo. Yeah, and Jupiter is sitting right there with Regulus on that day. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the exact day that that was a conjunction.
It was.
But, you know, to see these things, and, you know, this was the Son of God, and yet in God's foreknowledge, he knows who's going to believe. Right? We've been called from before the foundation of the world. And therefore, in his knowing of that, doesn't he set those things in order with his sons that Jesus called, you know, us to be sons of the Most High God? Doesn't he even set that into being? And I think that what it shows is that the Lord God loves us that much that he would even move heaven and earth, right? That when his children are born, that there's such significance in that. And I'm not saying, you know, that about the people that don't get saved or anything like that, but I'm just saying in regard to us as sons of God, that he actually moves heaven and had correlated heaven to correspond that when we are born, that here's what it is. And this is, you talk about a father giving a child prophetic utterance.
Wow.
Right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's what it sets me as. Here's the Father saying, yeah, when you finally come to realize who you are and you begin to look, and now that we can do this, we can go back and see, we can look at these stars, and we have these programs that do this, and we can look back and we say, oh my God, look what was happening up there. As when we dedicate a child, how people prophesy over them. Well, here's the real prophecy is God in the birth of that child says, here, I'll prophesy over your life right now. You want a destiny? Here is your destination, okay? And I'm going to prophesy that in your life right there.
Well, I think when you start getting into destiny, excuse me, you need to be careful.
I'm not talking, now, when I say destiny, I'm not talking destiny according to what the world looks at. I'm talking in terms of the Greek word horizo, which is the horizon. It's what is set before us as a place where we are to head our the straight and narrow path. And then there's that other word, which is prohorizo. And ultimately, when you look at those two words in the Greek, there is a place where God wants that, the horizo, that which he shows us is off, and the prohorizo, when they intersect, that is what we'd call where foreknowledge and predestination come together to bring that child into what God called them to be. That's what I'm not saying. I don't want to put it in, you know, that term destiny has been bantered about and abused so many different times that it's my destiny to do that. Well, we still have freedom of will, like we, you know, talked about last week, freedom. But here you have that. This is my purpose. Jesus said it on the cross, right? For this purpose was I reserved. At one point, right? And for this purpose was I spared. So, you know, even that's where the culmination of everything that God set up from all those prophecies way back in the Old Testament, where finally, when Jesus went to that cross, everything culminated right there where he could say, okay, it's finished. That came to pass. So that's what I'm trying to put it in perspective of. So.
Well, hey, listen, I believe in the sovereignty of God. The book of Hebrews says that God fashioned a body for Jesus. And if I'm going to be real about what I preach and teach, you know, I teach people that there are no accidents. That you're not an accident. That you were predestined to be a child of God. So he had to fashion your body. But I think that where we go down this, the wrong path, where the astrologers have been, is that they say you have to be that way. You know, but what I'm looking at is the potential that you can be that way.
Right.
I think is, and that's a big difference, isn't it?
Right. And that's the prophetic utterance that God puts forth on that day. This is what you can be. I've called you to be this. You can be this. And I'll help you get there.
Well, you know, when the prophecies came forth on Jesus Christ by Simeon and by the prophetess whenever he was a kid, all it was what he could be. I mean, that's what prophecy is. What you can be.
Right.
What could be. And of course, I guess there are certain things that's carved in the absolute, finite, and perfect will of God. Those things we don't want to, you know, he said is, they are, and that's the way they will be. And I believe that there's in the heavens, that there's prophetic predictions about the future, about the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. I can't read them. I'm not that adept at the language, but if I keep messing with it, I might get to it. I keep hoping to stoke the coals in the minds of some of these college students that's really got the ability and the spiritual giftings to be able to read this. I think if you had a school of prophets, Russ, school of the prophets, and the prophets studied the word of God written in the heavens and developed a real sensitivity to what God is showing people, that they may could have a sensitivity to really prophesy about people in this.
But, that's true. I mean, you can study the whole thing about schools of prophets in the Old Testament. It's pretty enlightening. And if they were to study that stuff and had knowledge of that stuff, yeah, they could go around and help people. But still, the Spirit of God within the individual is going to have to witness with what's been told. So
that's why you always want Russ to be on the program with you, David, because Russ will always bring it back to the way it really is. And I believe this is so true, and this is why I put in the verses of Scripture, in the possible verses we might cover tonight, John chapter 16. And, you know, when it says the Spirit of truth will show us things to come or could testify things, and certainly that's a wide open interpretation. But goodness sakes, I mean, we don't want to close this down to to our limited possibilities. Let's open it up to the Word of God written in the heavens. And I know that the three of us are in agreement that the Word of God written in the heavens is as much of the Word of God as the Scriptures that we have.
Right.
And so, you know, these are the things that we have written there. David, what's your birth date again? May what?
May 8th, 1959. And while you're looking that up, I went into the Book of Jasher and I found that record where Abram was born.
Uh-huh.
Can I read that?
Please do.
This is Jasher chapter 8, and it says, and it was in the night that Abram was born that all the servants of Terah and all the wise men of Nimrod and his conjurers came and ate and drank in the house of Terah, and they rejoiced with him on that night. And when all the wise men and conjurers went out from the house of Terah, they lifted up their eyes towards heaven that night to look at the stars, and they saw, behold, one very large star came from the east, ran in the heavens, and he swallowed up the four stars from the four sides of heaven. That could possibly mean the cardinal points. And all the wise men of the king and his conjurers were astonished at the sight, and the sages understood this matter, and they knew its import, and they said to each other, this only betokens that the child that has been born to Terah this night, who will grow up and be fruitful and multiply and possess all the earth, he and his children forever, and he and his seed will slay kings and inherit the lands. So that's what happened, according to the Book of Jasher, that's what happened on the night Abram was born. So that's pretty dramatic.
That is. And you know, Abraham was right at that 2,000 year dividing point of the, right. of the week of millennium. Anyway, there's no doubt but what the heavens tell these things. I know that. So.
And the thing we always have to watch out is we don't want to fall into the same trap of this whole astrology hooky-pook type thing, because, you know, we've seen where that goes and what that does, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the heavens declaring the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And if that references us, because that's what I taught at Teen Week is how that is a reference when we correspond it to what's taught in the New Testament. Those are references to who we are. And even today, one of the greatest things that you see on advertisements is identity theft. And I think that is one of the things that is going on in the church right now is identity theft, is we are, it is being stolen in and from the church who we are and who actually resides within us that Holy Spirit can then bear witness with.
Well, I tell you, and what Russ is saying earlier, exactly the same thing, that it's going to take the Holy Spirit within us to understand these things. And so we're not selling out to some astrologer who's going to say, well, tell me everything I'm supposed to be. We are talking to, it's the same as understanding what the Bible says and then having the application and interpretation of it given to us through the Holy Spirit.
Doesn't the Word of God that is written even declare that which is up in heaven is the Word of God and that man can't change it? And it says that man is without excuse because why? That Word has always been sitting there. And I think we have a lot of times taken that which is in the heavens and said, no, that's not as important as what we've called the written scriptures, even though we absolutely, to fully understand, we need the written scriptures. But we've kind of thrown that off to the side, and if you talk to a lot of people today, they just look at you with a blank stare about, what are you talking about?
Well, even by the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, the children of Israel, the ones to whom these secrets had been entrusted through the Shemite line, they had lost the knowledge of them, and it had to be the Zoroastrians, potentially, or the Chaldeans that came from Babylon to tell the people in Israel that Jesus had been born.
And they were most likely taught by the chief of the astrologers, who was Daniel. Right?
Well, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. And Daniel, you see, what Daniel had that these guys didn't have was Daniel had the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You know, it was apparently from what I can be able to read of records in antiquity, that Daniel prophesied that because of what he saw in the night vision, he prophesied of the supernova that would explode when Jesus was born. Now, he said it was going to be in Bootes, but according to all the other astronomers, it says that it showed up in Cygnus, which is right at the three-fourths of the way down the vertical stipe of the cross, which is, I think, is where it was. Regardless of that, but Daniel was the man. I mean, he was the man.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, but what made him the man was the Holy Spirit, not him being the man. But he was surely.
Right.
And I think that's the key. So, you know, so I think that potentially, you know, I could say, well, David, the son was in Aries when you were born. And
yep.
Aries is not the Lamb of God, it's the Ram of God. You know, and that, you know, that there's, and that the son was on the left, or the rear foot, the left rear foot, you know, which shows that you're a hard charger, for the return of Christ and the coming of the kingdom. Venus was directly between, not in the middle of, but directly between the horns of Taurus. And, you know, Taurus is, again, he's the hard charger, you know, but I tell you something else I see about this, that both Aries and Taurus were both sacrificial in the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and rams. And, I mean, I just, you know, I just think that these things have got a lot to say about who we are. Mercury, David, when you were born, Mercury, which I really believe is the message that we've been sent to deliver, Mercury was in Pisces, and Pisces has got some really cool understanding about it, because his mouth is headed toward the North Star, and the other one is parallel to the ecliptic. But Mercury was in the one that was parallel to the ecliptic, and you know, it just goes to show, you know, a great gifting of, you know, of an orator, you know, potentially. Because of the blessings being able to be shared that way, as far as, you know, God to man, not just, or you know, mankind horizontally to others. But it's just interesting to look at some of these things. And when David was born, Saturn was in the bow of Sagittarius. Now, that doesn't say anything. You know, meaning Sagittarius, the bow of Sagittarius is the opening of a point toward the opening of the Milky Way.
Right.
But Saturn is the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, and this bow of Sagittarius is the weapon that makes the way for the kingdom.
Now, I'm looking at that right now, and I see Venus. I have Venus sitting right between the two horns. Did you mention that?
Yes, I did.
And see, in you know, when we look at Taurus being the return of the coming king, and Venus being the bright and morning star, that I see now why that has always been something that has been in the forefront of my mind is the coming of the king. It sits there. I bring everything back to that. I go back to the cross, but my concentration is on the coming kingdom and the king who's coming. And when I just looked at this and I saw Saturn basically halfway between these two points of the horn, you know, it just makes you want to cry sometimes.
It witnesses to your spirit.
That's exactly what it does. It witnesses to your spirit. There's Russ. We'll bring Russ back in.
Right.
And that's what it does. It witnesses to your spirit that, yes, I can see why, you know, and it's not that, oh, I'm destined for that. But I've taken that and said, this is what I want. I want to know more about this. And because of that, he fills me up to know more about it.
Well, Mars, which is the attitude of Jesus as a warrior, Mars in your lifetime, when you were born, David, was in Gemini. And, you know, the two stars in Gemini, Castor and Pollux, show the two comings of the king. But... Yeah. You know, I've known you, you know, for a long time. And there's one thing I know about you, and that is I ain't screwing with you unless I really have to do it. Just because you got that warrior kind of attitude. I don't want to mess with you.
Is that a good thing or is that a...
That's a good thing, man. I mean, you know, you're...
There's some people that may think it differ with you.
Well, it's okay, but your namesake, King David, has got the revelation.
Is there something in there that says that water... It's Pisces, right? So it's stuff... You know, that's what it is. It's stuff flows off my back. It doesn't bother me. I'm sorry. I guess you could put it that way.
Yes, sir. Anyway, I think these are things that would be good for us to consider. Now, I hope I don't get deluged by phone calls from people that say to me, you know, could you tell me, you know, what this means?
And what's that number?
Yeah, right. I'm going to get
1-800.
What's Dale's cell number, Russ? We ought to get.
Yeah, that'd really mess them up.
Well, I need some more friends like you, buddy. Yeah, you'll be going out and posting my cell phone number on Facebook tonight so everybody in the world can have it. Well, you know, I'm excited about this because it shows us that there's places for us to boldly go where no man have gone before. I want to go there. I want to be pushing the envelope, but more so than anything else, I just believe that the Lord wants people to know what He's called them to be. I guess I had that dilemma as a kid, being in Sunday school in Eastern North Carolina, I just never knew what it was that God wanted me to do, and it always seemed like such an enigma, But I believe that this is something that we may be on the verge of cracking into some understanding. But I really, you know, at the onset of this right now, I just again have got to say, I don't believe that destinies are, that they're predestined in the heavens, but I believe that abilities may be foretold.
Right.
You know, what you could do if you really put your shoulder to the wheel.
Right.
So, Well, Russ, how about we just give David a minute here, since last week he decided that I wanted to hear him talk about what the law of liberty is. And this is a subject change, but he texted me last week while we were talking. I want to hear him talk a little bit about the law of liberty. I went through and read all the uses of the liberty and law of liberty today, and I've just been waiting all week to hear him teach on this. So what do you think? We just let him talk a little bit, what the law
is. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Oh, good.
That's your setup. I know how to play basketball. I just dished out. Let's see if you can drain through or if you're going to choke and throw it out of bounds.
That was a dish. Here we are talking about the heavens. When you were talking about liberty last week, I went to the Amplified because I can't quite remember. My wife's got my cell phone, and I had that message. The message I said is, liberty is something about obedience. What do you remember exactly what I said there? Anyways, it was regard to walking in liberty is walking in obedience.
That's basically what you said. Walking in liberty is obedience.
Is obedience. And then I found the Amplified of James 1:25, and it just kind of shocked me when I saw it, because James chapter 1 verse 25 in the Amplified says, "But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres into looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience." And so there we had both obedience and liberty in the same verse. And I spent a while looking at it. What exactly is this law of liberty that's talking about? And I think if you know we want to look contextually, we got to go back to I think it's verse 19, and we see that verse 19 says, let's see here. Verse 19 says, "But know this, beloved brethren." Oh, this know, beloved brethren. I'm going to read. This is the New American Standard. "But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of God does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside filthiness and all that remains of wickedness." Now, I always grew up remembering that as superfluity of naughtiness, and I guess I never really understood what that meant, but here it's that wicked part that remains. You guys were talking last week about the soul, right? So what gets saved when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Well, we know that the soul doesn't get saved at that point in time, because we walk away and we still have some of the same thoughts we had before we accepted Him, right?
Right.
So, Dale, in your class on the salvations of man, you taught that that it's the spirit that gets saved. And I think men like Watchman Nee and others clearly back that up. And I think the scriptures back that up, that it's our spirit that gets saved. But our soul is in the process of being saved by our obedience.
Right.
And as we go on and read, it's our obedience to what? The perfect law of liberty. Not that law that was the Torah, which Moses brought down from the mount. Okay, not on the hard stone, but that Torah, that law, which is written on the fleshy tables of the heart. All right, and when we go back to, you guys still with me, right? Everybody still here?
I'm listening.
Okay.
We're here.
So are you saying that the law of liberty is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus?
That's what I'm saying, the perfect law of liberty, because it can't be anything that refers back to the Old Testament Torah, because it has to be that which is written on our hearts, which God is trying to transcribe and inscribe upon our fleshy tables, so that we would walk in obedience and that we would follow Him. Now, we're supposed to intently look at it. You'll never get. This all goes back to identity again. We're talking about identity. What is our identity according to what the heavens declaring in the stars? For us to really walk how God wants us to walk, we have to know who we are. We have to know that we are sons of God. You know, there's an old phrase, we are sons of God with all power. We used that years ago. But that's who we are. We have to understand that. And so when we are to look intently into this perfect law. So it's, you know, we've got to, it's like you got something that's very precious and you look at it and you know, you don't just give it a cursory glance. What do? You look at every facet of it. How does this thing look? To the point where if it ever, I ever lost it and somebody says, is that yours? You can look at it and go, nope. That's mine because I can recognize it by this. All right? And that's what that looking intently is meant to portray, that that's how we are to look at this law of liberty, this freedom. And we're supposed to not just look at it, we're to abide in it. And when we abide in it, that's when we become obedient, which is what the Amplified tries to declare and bring forth, is that if I get back there again, it says that he is faithful to it and perseveres in the looking to it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. He shall be blessed in his doing, and then they say that doing is his life of obedience. So I think it all comes back to, once again, understanding who we are in Christ, that we have to understand what our identity is. And when we're able to understand who we are in Christ, then we can truly walk in that freedom. We're not bound up by, I've got this book of how I need to heal, and so I'll go by this every time I want to heal. But when we walk in that perfect law of liberty, what do we find out? That every situation is different, and God works in us through His Holy Spirit in every situation as we understand who we are in Christ, to do what we need to do, to call those things that are not as though they were, and bring that in into the realm of reality.
Let me tell you what I entertained on this thought today, David. Russ, you can jump on me. You know, Martin Luther said that the book of James is an epistle of straw. You ever heard that?
Yep.
That he looked at it and didn't give it as much canonical authority as he did the Pauline epistles. Are you with me?
Sure.
Yes.
I don't know. I think that there's a room for Martin Luther's criticism here, because I believe that James was an apostle to the Jews. I think we can pretty much document that from the book of Acts, and that he was speaking to the Jews primarily in his epistle. But I don't think that he had near the revelation that Paul did to the Gentiles and to this mystery era. It says in James 1:1, James served God, Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And there surely was an evolution of the understanding of what God had done in Christ Jesus as it went through, you know, Paul of Tarsus's revelation. But I think that James was looking at the same thing as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, David. When he was calling this the law of liberty, I think it's the same thing that Paul called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I can see that. And then in James 2:12, it says also that we're going to be judged by the law of liberty.
Right.
So, exactly. But that's my take on it, Russ. I'm not trying to blaspheme the canon of Scripture, but I'm just quoting Martin Luther. You know, what he said about the book of James, but I don't think James had the advanced revelation that Paul did on the mystery of the one body.
No, I don't think he did either, but he was Jesus' brother, so he had some insight.
Yeah, you know, I guess so, you know. But anyway, well, I think that's a good take on the law of liberty, David. I appreciate you, your insight on that. But we're going to be judged by it. So we got to this last week by talking about the law of conscience, you know, whether your thoughts will either excuse you or accuse you. I really believe, though, whenever a person's born again of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit amps up the signal, and the judgment there is going to be greater for us, because we should know what the law of liberty is telling us and what the Spirit is witnessing to us.
Yes.
You know, it's a scary thing. Anyway, but I'm sure I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, it's been a good evening. Anything else you got you wanted to talk about, Rooster?
No, the only thing I had was a bunch of verses on repentance, and I don't know if we want to go into that tonight.
Well, I just sent out
my we may need to do that after.
I may need some verses on how to go into hiding after. our latest CD that's coming out to our partners is on repentance and suffering in the flesh. So it's a great teaching. I don't expect it to be, you know, I don't expect to get a whole lot of thank yous for it. I expect to get a, you know, maybe I'll get some from Jesus. But anyway, we got the repentance covered going out anyway. So, well, look, those of you guys that's joined us tonight and listen to us live, we love you even more than the people that are listening by the archives. I'm just kidding. We love all of you, and we've had a great time sharing this tonight. David Scoville, you are a blessing of God, man. And, you know, I'd love to be able to cut you loose and let you to be able to teach some of these wonderful things about the Word of God in the heavens. And maybe we'll do that. We'll just set you up sometime, let you teach, and give you an audience and see how many people want to listen to it. I tell you, more and more I'm realizing that my audiences are getting smaller and my demand is getting less. And I don't think it's because I'm getting worse at what I'm doing. I think that the demographics of people that really are desiring to hear the Word of God is getting less and less.
Amen.
You know, anyway, I think we can find verses of Scripture that says that.
Yep.
But anyway, but it's a blessing to be able to hang out with two,
what do we call them? Kooks. Keepers of odd knowledge.
What is that?
Keepers of odd knowledge. Keepers of odd knowledge.
Certainly officers in the Army tonight. But, well, we've seen some odd knowledge. I'd be interested to hear any of your thoughts on this stuff about the Word of God written in the heavens and the ramifications of, you know, what it tells you concerning your abilities or whatever. But, again, thanks to both you guys for joining us. David, please pass our love around to Linda and the boys and rest of you and Martha and, you know, Joe and all the rest of them, and especially Gavin. And but anyway, thanks again, Martin Irv, for helping us do this. And
thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Martin.
It's a blessing for sure. Anyway, we're signing off here. Lord, thank you for the privilege of doing what we're doing and availing the Word of God for those individuals that desire to hear. And we pray that our audience will grow as the Word of God that we have to share continues to impact people. So thank you for the beautiful men that joined me tonight and the discipline that has been exhibited by them through the years and the great wealth of knowledge they are in the Scriptures, even though they're kooks, keepers of odd knowledge. Thank you, Lord, and we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
And good night to all of you, and thank you, Russ. Thank you, David. We'll be talking to you later. God bless you.
Amen. God bless.